po lang ng takbo.
Takbo lang ng takbo.
Habang may semento.
Habang may semento.
Kung walang semento.
Kung walang semento.
Gagawa tayo.
Gagawa tayo.
Let's have a good time. Let's sit down, start a conversation, and let that conversation run. Only here on Matt Runs. Welcome to another episode of Matt Runs. Today is something very, very interesting to me, especially in the midst of this pandemic. No, a lot of people has lost their jobs. A lot of people has been jobless and all. And a lot of people has been investing online, investing in different kinds of things, stocks, local, foreign, crypto even. And it's very, very interesting to know more about this investment thing going on today, especially with the, if you're into crypto, things crash, things goes up and stuff. We're going to talk to two people that are experts in the investment field, all right? We've got two people here that are very, very good in what they do, and they work with a company I endorse, Sun Life Philippines. And these two guys are not just employees. These guys are bosses. These guys are top gun guys that know a lot of what they're going to be talking about this evening. So ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce to you guys the guy to my right. He wasn't sitting in this position years back when I started with Sun Life. He is now the president of SlamC. He's rose from the ranks. He's incredible. He's leading a lot of people now, and he's an amazing man, and he's become a good friend of mine. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for Gerard Bautista.
Hi, Mateo. Nice to be here.
What's up, man?
You can call me GB.
GB.
As you know.
All right, GB, what's up? And guys, to my left is another guy. We've seen each other in events, no? In Sun Life events, but we never really talked. We just said hi to each other, right? Today, we're just sitting down, the three of us, and we actually did a Sun Life episode a few weeks ago. And you were there, we were part of the conversation, and you know, I invited you guys to come and guest at Matt Runs. So ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for Mon Osmeña.
Hey everyone, what's up? I'm Mon. I'm with Sun Life Asset Management. GB is my boss, actually. Nice to be here.
Oh, the boss. You know, I've been feeling your aura has changed. Before you were like, now you're like a boss feels now.
The clients are the boss. The clients are the boss at the end of the day.
How long have you been with Sun Life for?
Roughly around 13 years.
Wow.
Thereabouts. Yeah.
13 years.
13 years.
What about you, Mon? How long have you been with Sun Life?
You know what? I joined Sun Life Feb 2018. So over 3 years.
Just three years. I heard before Sun Life, you're an investment banker.
I was actually a money broker.
I would broker
and trade bonds with the banks.
That's interesting. That's something we're going to touch later on. Very, very interesting. What about you? What were you doing before Sun Life, GB?
Basically, mutual funds. I've been doing mutual funds. I've been doing this thing for almost 20 years. Way back before joining Sun Life, I was also with a bank.
So you were a banker also before?
I was also a banker for roughly around 2 years. I was doing mutual funds, structured notes. You know, if you invest money in banks and then you do the time deposit thing, I manage those kind of products as well. Bank assurance as well. I was a product manager. I was doing trust business. Meaning, you know, if you want some sort of legacy planning for your family, that's the guy to talk to. That's the thing that trust does. But prior to that, I joined the mutual fund industry when it was kind of getting there.
Okay.
Mutual funds here in the Philippines has been here since 1970s. People don't know that, you know, they know insurance, they know banking products and stuff like that. Pero mutual funds in the Philippines, it started around 1970s.
Okay.
It wasn't really picking up because the capital markets, when I say capital markets, you know, if you invest money in stocks, if you invest money in bonds and so on and so forth, the heavy stuff. No? It wasn't really getting that big because at that time, martial law, magulo, tapos Cory's time, you know, they had a lot of kudetas. So the market wasn't really pushing as much going up, going north. So when I got into the mutual funds industry, 2000, it was just gaining ground. And I was just so lucky that, you know, I was looking for an industry in a medyo, you know, where can I have my competitive edge? There are bankers now. Mm-hmm. There are people working in fast-moving consumer goods. So I was telling myself, I'm you know, I graduated in college political science. Okay. I didn't have that business degree. So I didn't have that business degree. So where can I fit myself in my career? And then I was looking at magazines and stuff like that. At that time wala pa social media. Wala pang age ko.
MySpace pa yata yun eh. MySpace. Yeah. Friendster. So, wala pa nga eh. Wala pa.
Friendster. This was 2000, no? Mm. So you know, I was just reading stuff in magazines. And then I chanced upon ad, every page, ad by ad. They talk about mutual funds, they talk about, you know, Fidelity, ganyan. I was thinking, these products are so big. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I look at, you know, products in Australia, Singapore, Hong Kong, Europe, US, these things are big. So when I got into the details more, it seems like the default product of developed markets, developed countries, are mutual funds. Mm-hmm. Here in the Philippines, wala pa. So parang, you know, where can I fit myself in such a way that I can be part of the pioneering, quote-unquote, pioneering group. No?
You were still with the bank then?
No. 2000, I was a fresh grad. Then.
Okay.
So.
And then you applied to Sun Life? Not yet?
No, not yet. So at that time, I was with our competitor now. It was with, I don't want to mention the name. But it was with a competitor now. Mm. But, you know, they were one of the first. Then also Sun Life actually had its mutual fund product 2000. Mm. So I got into it. 2000 to 2005, you know, got a feel of, you know, okay, this is how the industry goes. And then I thought of thinking, you know, I should get a business degree if I want to take this seriously. So I took MBA. And then when I came back, I went into banking. And then after that, you know, someone from actually one of our team, si Meti, she got me to head yung bank wholesale distribution channel for Sun Life. So that was in 2008.
So I joined, 2008, you joined Sun Life in what position? What was your position then?
In 2008, it was, what do we call it? Business Development Officer.
Okay.
Parang assistant manager.
Still in mutual funds and investments?
It's still in mutual funds.
Okay, yeah. So that's your scope. That's your field talaga.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about you? How did you start? How did you start Sun Life?
I started Sun Life in 2018 after I finished a 10-year career as a bonds broker.
Wow.
But I guess I wanted to talk something before that. My first job, kasi it's really funny. That's where I met GB, actually. My first job, I was a relationship manager in the, I guess, kumbaga the premier banking sector of that, you know, consumer banking business.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would have the high net worth clients. Mm. So I would, you know, create asset allocation portfolios for them to build their investment portfolios in bonds, equities, mutual funds. And that's where I met GB actually, because GB used to come to the office to pitch the Sun Life products or his other company's products that time.
What did you think of GB then?
Oh, he was a really smart guy at that time pa lang. And I knew
the things he was pitching to you, we were like, ito na naman.
There were actually good products and I actually invested in myself also.
Okay.
And that's actually one of the things I like to do. I like to invest in the products that I sell.
Okay.
I really believe I can never sell something well enough unless I invest it in myself also.
So just to give some sort of meat into what Mon is saying, we have distributors. We have like advisors, and then we also, that's what we call retail distributors. And then we have wholesale distributors. These are banks. So think of it, we're like manufacturers.
Okay.
We create that product, and then we want to give that product to the public as much as we can through distributors. So like, you know, so you talk to advisors, and then they sell the product. So we're like wearing the manufacturer's hat. And then at that time, during Mon's younger days, they were like the distributors.
Mm. Okay. Interesting, no? Interesting the field of work you guys are in, no? Iba din.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a whole different, obviously, I'm not into it. I'm not in it, so I don't really totally understand. I have a question for the both of you. So you guys are up here in Sun Life. How do you feel about all these Sun Life financial advisors down here going out door to door, really talking to the clients? How do you know what they're doing is the right thing? Or are you confident enough that the training the company gives is 100%? Are there some people that parang kulang or kailangan pa ng training. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Kumbaga, I'm sure 100% of everybody going out there is not perfect. Di ba? So how do you mediate that? Yeah.
Sun Life takes these things very, very seriously.
Okay.
In fact, we have a global...
Because that's a proper question, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
right, right.
I know Sun Life has so many Sun Life advisors. Yeah. Like, especially now in the pandemic, a lot of people have been texting me, my friends, bro, ano, invest ka dito, invest. Anong trabaho mo na? Ano na ako? Financial advisor now. Lahat na lang financial advisor, di ba?
Yeah.
So sometimes you think, what financial advisor to? Tapos nahihirap sa buhay.
Yeah.
Or bakit may daming challenges? So parang hindi siya ganun ka-credible ba?
Yeah.
So how does the company, how does especially Sun Life ensure that the people going out there are well-trained?
Mm.
Talagang lahat. They, you know, yeah, they have the right ammunition in, yeah, them, kumbaga.
So Sun Life has, for me, I mean, if you're gonna ask me that as an outsider, and I wanna join the sales force, they're very, very strict. They really take, you know, sales advisory very seriously. On a global level, they have what they call MRA, Most Respected Advisor.
Okay.
It's really a program to build the competency of the advisor, the credibility, the ethics. Mm-hmm. I think more than anything else is the ethics. Eh. You know, when you sales pitch, you don't do mis-selling just for the sake of
getting
an income, mm-hmm, out of, mm-hmm, it. So they really take this thing seriously. And in fact, I just recently hired our sales quality guy. So he's really wearing like some sort of compliance hat, agency governance, I mean sales governance hat. So all of these things, it really, before sending someone out there, talking to clients, giving them financial advisory, I mean, this is money of, you know, family.
Oh, yeah, of course. People. Hard-earned money.
Hard-earned money. And, you know, you really have to give the proper advisory and even licensing. So fortunately in Sun Life, we have the highest, because when you sell mutual funds, life insurance, yes, you get to take that in another government agency. We call that insurance commission. But when you sell mutual funds, investment products, you go to SEC,
okay,
Securities Exchange Commission. So you take this licensing exam. And this licensing exam is as hard as being like a banker's exam. It kind
so
of
so financial advisors go through that.
Financial advisors go that go through that examination, and that's hard.
Mm.
The passing rate is just 20%.
Wow! Yeah.
So out of 100, you know, imagine out of 100 who takes the exam just to sell our products, only 20 pass.
Wow!
Just to add some meat to that, no, GB is talking about the Certified Investment Solicitor exam. That's by the Securities and Exchange Commission.
Okay.
It's the highest caliber level of exams you can ever take. GB took it. I took it. We're both from the banking industry, and we also had a hard time taking that.
Wow. So financial advisors in the field go through this.
Yeah.
So kumbaga, kung sasabihin ng tao, oh, financial advisor, mabigat.
Mabigat.
Hindi basta-basta, yeah. I'm a financial advisor.
The thing about using the word financial advisor, sometimes it gets so you know, randomly misused.
Mm-hmm.
So Sun Life, when you talk about financial advisor, you have to have two licenses.
Okay.
One, you have to have the insurance license to sell insurance products. And then for you to be in your credit, in your calling card, to be a financial advisor, you have to take the SEC exam.
Mm.
Then your designation changes. With other companies, you know, randomly they just say, oh, I'm a financial advisor. Without really having
that. There's some other companies na financial advisor.
Yeah, it depends on, you know, how they want to brand themselves.
Mm.
But in Sun Life, we really take it seriously that you have to have the full arsenal and the license, you know, regulatory body, the license to say, okay, I know the stuff that I'm talking about.
Okay.
So when you meet someone who's like, a mother of a family, a CEO of a company, a CPA, or a doctor, all different fields, at least, you know, person to person, you
exposed,
get to relate with,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
But if in any case you're put into a situation that you really talk about in-depth, you know, product discussion, like bonds, stocks, you know, looking at your financial statements, at least that person can actually,
right,
relate to you,
right,
and give you the proper advice.
Was being a financial advisor, you know, what you guys are today, has this been a dream ever since? Was this your goal? One day, I'll be a financial advisor.
Honestly, no. My course was marketing management. Ah, okay. But my first choice was business management. But at that time, naubusan ng slots for business management. So I got marketing management. And just like any other fresh grad, I didn't know what the heck to do.
Right.
So I asked my dad, "Dad, what do I do?" Diba? Ito, magtrabaho ka dito. He put me in the bank first, diba? I mean, he helped me get past my resume to some people. And I got a really menial first job.
In a bank?
In a bank. You wouldn't believe it. I was handling the safety deposit box in a bank. The safety deposit box section is like a vault wherein you know the super high net worth clients keep their physical wealth.
So you knew everything what was in there.
Yeah. Sort of, yeah. So my job was really just to note down, to keep tick record and
that job, guide them. How old were you then?
I was 21 years old.
Did you see incredible things in there?
I did.
Can you talk about that? No, we can't talk about what was in there, but you like, wow?
Yeah, super wow.
I thought you're not supposed to see what's inside this box.
You can actually see them because you accompany the clients inside.
Yeah. You were like the escort. Yeah, not the escort, but the escort.
When you go to a safety deposit box room, two keys.
Two keys.
So one with the bank and one with the client.
Right.
Yeah. So you both open it simultaneously.
You're not supposed to really look, but of course, sometimes the client just goes like, "Saka lang ah."
So you've seen like incredible ridiculous stuff.
Like wads of cash, different currencies. Like one guy had like just all watches.
They don't wear it; they just hold it there.
They just keep it there. They bring it out sometimes for like their nights out.
Yeah. Really? But today, is that still uso?
That is actually still a thing. Yeah.
Wow. What's give me another crazy thing you saw inside one of those boxes?
Oh, I actually saw a gun, I think, at one point. Yeah.
A gun?
Yeah.
That sounds like a murder gun or something hiding it in there.
Yeah.
So money, watches, all these crazy things.
Yeah. So at that point, going back, though, I didn't even know what that job would become in the future, diba?
Yeah. But it was interesting. It's a good story to tell your kids.
It is, actually. I think about it now. So then I saw a lot of...
That's a nice movie to make, bro. That's a nice movie. A movie about your life, seeing all these crazy things.
Yeah. So I was there, diba? I had a small little room to myself, diba? But I would see the RMs from the high net worth segment going down with their clients to accompany them. So I was like, what job is that? That looks interesting, huh? So I asked them, what do these guys do, diba? Ah, they're the ones who take care of the high net worth clients' money. Talaga? What's that? What do they offer? Ayan,
how old were you then?
21 years old.
So you met big time people at 21?
I guess they were big time.
Did you know who they were?
I didn't even know who they were at that time. But I guess they were big time pala, diba? So that's the first time I said, parang, hey, I think I want to do that.
How old are you now, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 39.
Going back, you recognize some people. You remember them today?
I think I do now, yeah. Okay, yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
incredible. No?
So that was the time I felt that, parang, hey, I think I want to do that. So there was an opening for an RM position, and I applied. And I went through some rigorous training, rigorous interviews.
Wow.
About how I could add value to that job.
Siyempre, you have to, you trustworthy.
Yeah.
Basta-basta.
Yeah, a lot of tests were involved there. Yeah. And a lot of, so many interviews. And I got the job.
You go through a lie detector test.
So some of my first clients were my dad and mom's friends.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's how it first worked out for me.
That's incredible. Incredible. Yeah. That's a really nice story, actually. And a nice movie to make. Bro, how does it feel to be president of Sun Life today?
It's over.
Is this a dream come true? Like, I met, how many years? I've been with you for 5-6 years already, correct?
Thereabouts.
You weren't... when I met you, you were... What was your position back then?
I think I was a manager.
Manager.
Yeah.
Today, that you're president, Mr. Gerald Bautista, president. So how does that feel?
It's different. I mean, of course, we have ambitions, right, and stuff like that. You have to have by a certain age, I have to be at this level.
You're a man like that. You've planned your life.
Not so. Actually, alluding to your question to Mon, I graduated. I didn't have, as I mentioned a while ago, I didn't have a business degree.
Okay.
I took political science.
What did you want to be then?
At first, when I took the course, I wanted to become a lawyer.
Wow.
We were kind of like a family of lawyers. My aunt and my lolo. And then halfway through the course, I had a very good professor. I mean, I don't know if he's listening. See, Professor Tihangki. He really shifted kind of my life.
Right.
Parang, he got me into international studies. And then from there on, I think I want to become an ambassador.
Wow.
Travel the world, represent, ganyan. So I did use my college degree for 1 year. Well, not even 1 year. Almost a year. But then I kind of figured, you know, I think I want to go private, private sector. So that's the time that I started looking at, where can I fit myself? where can I find myself? Like, you know, I can say I'm part of this industry from the start, or kind of building it up, and then, you know, stick to it.
Right.
So it's answer to your question, you know, how does it feel like, you know, having the role that I have right now? It's 20 years in the making.
Wow.
Na give away ni age ko. It's 20 years in the making.
You're 35? How old are you?
I started working when I was in I was 10 years old. No. So yeah, it's 20 years in the making. A lot of sacrifices. I mean, a lot of sacrifices because they're like personal sacrifices. Like, you know, I didn't get to have a proper relationship per se just because I'm so engrossed with my work.
So you'd say that is because of your goals and your dreams.
Yeah,
the relationship part didn't enter your life.
It kind of...
Or did it and you did not allow it to?
I did not allow it.
Okay.
Parang I was so, you know, I want to make it on top. I'm so engrossed with giving the best that I can for the company, growing the company, making it number one, giving proper service to our clients, to our shareholders. And I wanted to have that feel of, you know, when I look at certain people, I'm sure you admire people, right?
Mm.
You know, you admire Tito Martin, right? Mm. I mean, he's not my Tito, you're Tito. Mm. So you admire certain people that you want to be like them when you grow up at a certain age or a certain milestone.
So who was the guy you wanted to be like?
Different people, that's like some sort of, you know, looking at people and ambitions as well. You kind of get a bit of what they have, and then how did I make it on top? What can I get out of him that I can use so that it can push me to become a better person, become a better...
So you got a little bit of those and put in your box.
Yeah. So I'm just lucky that in Sun Life, we had those. We have, you know, si Risa Mantaring,
right,
former CEO. I had a former boss. He was an expat. His name is Naresh. He kind of gave me a lot of, you know, he gave me a lot of confidence, you know, trust and confidence, and then make me have my own discard.
Right.
And then I had our Rina Pama,
right?
You used to see her before. She gave me a lot of management.
Miss Rina was the one that fainted in front of me, right?
No, that's Risa.
Ah, Miss Risa. Yeah.
So,
Miss Risa. Wala na si Miss Rina, di ba?
Rina got promoted.
Okay, nice.
So parang ano, parang just basically molding myself and being like a sponge,
right,
getting to know what they're doing and what can be applicable for my end, so that I have my own characteristic,
right.
I have my own identity.
But you GB, you're so driven. I mean, the both of you obviously are, but I've known you for 5 or 6 years, and talagang, you know, you come to events with that suit, with the best slick back, with your hair, and talagang you know, you wanna come, you come to an event and you have a purpose of why you're there. You have a goal to get all the time. Now that you're president, bro, of Sun Life, what's next for you, man? Is there more, or do you wanna? Is there so much to do as president?
It's more of what I can give to the company now,
right,
and the legacy that I can give to the guys. When I say the guys, the, you know, like Mon, the other managers. I mean, I'm just fortunate that I had opportunity that was given to me,
right,
and then I want to pay it forward.
Right.
So I want to bring the company to a certain level that it's such a good talent pool that within the organization they'll say, someone from SLAMC, kuhanin mo yan kasi magaling siya sa ganyan.
Mm.
Or send him to Vietnam, or send him to Malaysia, ganyan, kasi they can do stuff there that work well for the Philippines. So it's medyo ano na, medyo some sort of, you know, we're a global brand, right? We have different presence in different Asian countries as well as in North America. So it's more of giving these guys a shot that I never had.
Right.
I mean, I wanted to become a like regional guy, na parang, you know, had a position in Hong Kong or whatever.
But you're president now.
Yeah, so I'm taking care of the Philippine business.
Right.
But the opportunity that I would have wanted let's say when I was vice president, I hope that these guys can have.
Right.
So it's more of that na parang the next steps are probably having a family na eh. Kasi ano na yan eh.
The woman comes in. It's time for the so, woman, GB.
Medyo, di ba?
Maybe it's not because of, maybe you just haven't found the right one. Because it's like a puzzle, bro. Eh. It's a puzzle. Di ba? That woman just fits you. Baka all the women you've seen is like, parang hindi eh. It doesn't fit the puzzle. Di ba? Yeah. Love is a puzzle eh. Mon, how's GB as a boss?
GB's
what's his leadership style?
I would say, I haven't had GB as a boss for a long time yet.
Okay.
But I love the way he has positive reinforcement to his, to his people. And that's what really gets me. And apart from GB, all the bosses I've ever had, this is the way it affects me. If a boss gives you positive reinforcement for the good things that you do, you want to do it over and over and again.
Right.
And you want to get better and better and better and better. And so that's what I could say that GB has.
So positive reinforcement, that's very, very important as a leader. Yeah. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. There are four kinds of leadership. I want to share it to you
guys.
I got this in business school. In fact, this business school really dedicated a module for leadership.
Okay.
So there's four kinds. You know, whether it be you being a manager or president or a vice president. So there's one, coaching. Parang basketball coach.
Mm-hmm.
You have your individual skill set. Oh, this is the gameplay. Oh, let's win the game. So it's like in a company, kanya-kanyang diskarte yan. You have your own skill set, but this is the company goal. Okay, get it. So that's the coaching. And then you have the mentoring.
Okay.
It's like probably, you want to sing well.
Mm-hmm.
So you watch how I sing the song,
yeah,
and sana you get to emulate it.
Okay.
So mentoring yan. And then you have the, what do you call, affiliative.
Okay.
Affiliative yung friendly. Parang, I want to do good. I don't want to disappoint him. I'm really going to feel bad. So that's kind of the affiliative. And then you have the authoritative. Like
military style.
Military style. Ganyan. Follow me, ganyan, or else. Ganyan. So you have those
with
four.
With these four, what's the most efficient to you? And what have you found most dominant, kumbaga, most useful? And most, yung kumbaga na talaga, kumbaga.
There's what you call situational leadership.
Okay.
I mean, you can't have, you'll use any of those at a particular time for a particular person. It's not
so
like
it depends one. On what the person you're mentoring or teaching absorbs the best. Kumbaga.
Yeah. To some extent, you have to have mirroring pa nga. Parang kanya eh. I mean, if I go on one full authoritative, he's gonna buckle up. I mean, he might even, you know, back down and nah, this is not for me.
Right.
So you have to know the personality, the persona of the person, and then you blend it with the goal as well as the leadership style that you have.
So a good leader should and must adjust also.
Oh yeah.
Kumbaga hindi ako yung boss, listen to me.
Definitely.
Hindi ganyan.
Yeah, definitely.
So in Sun Life, do you get stressed sometimes? Na do you compartmentalize as people, say okay, ito ganito, may mga ganyan. How?
Those are nights that make you, what am I gonna do with this
really?
Person? Yeah. But you have to give proper respect at the end of the day. I mean, you're there. You still talk to people, right? You still talk to person, to a person who has feelings and who has career aspirations. So, the best way that you can do is to find a solution for that person if ever you're in that crossroad. Ano lang, a lot of communication, I suppose.
But how do you know na tama na? Tama na bro. Ito na. Ang ina. Wala na to. Wala na to. Kasi I'm sure.
Yeah,
I mean, me as a husband now today, no? Kumbaga, obviously, I don't manage a corporation like you. I manage a household. So, it's different. It's also management, bro. If you ask your mom, it's managing a whole household is also managing like a small business also. Kumbaga, diba? You have different personalities. You have your cook, you have your driver, you have your helper, you have your wife, you have your dogs.
You know what's good?
Mm.
You do how would I say it? A household meeting.
Yeah.
Good. One thing that I know, if there's like stress points in an organization, and then you have a stress point with this person, as much as you can, work as a committee.
Okay.
I mean, let's say me, you know, people are answerable to me. I don't have all the answers. So there are even smarter guys that who know the answers.
Right.
So sit on the table, have a Zoom, you know, nowadays have a Zoom discussion and work as a committee. Because there are different perspectives that you won't have, but the other person has. Even though that person is of lower rank, you have to respect.
So you listen, GB. You listen.
You have to.
You don't have a big. You know, some leaders have big egos. Na ako yung tama. Na, what are you saying, diba?
Yeah, you know that's right. I wanted to build on that because I think the best leaders really create an environment where everyone could express their ideas, and that's really what you call psychological safety.
Okay.
And that's something that all leaders must have, talaga, to really excel. And that's what all companies who want to really deliver the best success should have. Creating that environment where there's psychological safety, that anyone could speak up, because the leaders don't have the best ideas all the time.
Right.
And that idea could come from anyone in that company.
But I'm sure you've encountered leaders na if you share an idea or something, they'll, you know, they'll feel insulted. Hey,
maraming ganun din.
What do you think?
Maraming ganun din.
Wala akong alam. Have you encountered things like that, Mon?
I've had in the past also. And yeah, yun nga. Those are the kind of leaders, man. You kind of just like, I'm just gonna like, you know, sit at the back seat and not do anything anymore. I'm just gonna like coast na lang.
Yeah. They say millennials and the people now quit very fast. They, after you scold them or after you teach them, oh, hindi ko na kaya. Alis na ako. Hanap na akong bagong trabaho. Have you been experiencing this, Libby?
What's your attrition rate?
I guess for the younger ones now, that's quite evident nga. Na parang I'm not delivering the impact I wanted. It's only been 8 months, dude, and you want to leave already?
So what's your advice to them? How long should they hold there and, you know, learn the ropes, go through what they have to go through, etc.?
I don't know. For me, it's different for everyone. But I guess nowadays with the millennials now, it's like they want to see instant.
Hindi naman COVID yan, bro.
No. Negative.
Instant gratification. Diba? Similar, like when kids look at the iPad, diba? They see things, they get to change things kagad, diba? So it just applies to their life also in their job. If they don't see something that they like, alis na ako, yoko na, it's not pala good company.
Maraming ganyan
ngayon.
Even
diba?
Now today, in Sun Life.
Oh, yeah.
There are. In HR, kasi we monitor the attrition risk. Attrition risk is people resigning. It's ano eh. I think it's your tenacity to individual na yan eh.
Yeah.
I would think it's not because of the company, but because of the person.
Yeah.
It's the personality characteristic of a person.
Yeah.
Jimmy, you're talking to me about you're so driven and what's affected you, your love life, kumbaga, hindi pumasok yan. Can we talk about that? I mean, yeah, I'm sure. You'd be a big inspiration to people that want to be like you, want to be president of Sun Life, kumbaga.
Don't take my path.
No, but you know, your parents, I met your parents once or twice in the Alabang Church and They're incredible people. They're super nice. And I'm sure they're super, super proud of what you've become and where you are now. What are they feeling?
I give them rewards.
Really?
So when I have milestones, I don't reward myself. I reward them. Because they paid for my school. They you know, they had their own sacrifices. That's and nice. And I like making notes. Mm-hmm. I like, you know, giving notes to my parents, you know, saying thank you and stuff like that. Sometimes it's impactful when you write down in handwritten notes.
Right.
So I say thank you to them. So it's not because of me per se, you know, getting the milestones. It's because of what they've done. So I like the concept of paying it forward.
That's really nice. That's really nice. Bro, how old are you again? 39?
38?
28. At heart.
Already?
Yeah.
You don't look it, bro. You don't look it. I think you really remind me of my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law, he's 40, 41 now. He got married to my sister. My sister is, I'm 31. My sister's 30. Big age gap also. Mm. And you remind me a lot of him. He's a lawyer. He has a law firm now, etc. And he did not want to be distracted in his path. Did not want to be distracted. So I guess age 40, 41, that's when he said, you know, this is it. He met Georgia. They got married. They have a kid now. So I think everybody has their own story, ba? Diba? We shouldn't be pressured. Diba, GB, where's your girl? I don't think you should be pressured. I mean, you're a successful man. You're the president of Sun Life. And one day that woman will be there and she'll be the luckiest woman in the world.
How did
diba? So I mean, he writes handwritten love letters, says thank you all the time. Sinong babae hindi ba maswerte dyan kay GB?
So,
huh?
segue ko sa'yo. No, I mean, like what I've said, diba? I gain insights from not necessarily, you know, of older people, but even younger ones have great wisdom. Like for you, Mateo.
I know.
I mean, your advice to me, what would be your advice to me? You know, okay, this is it. I'm gonna pop the question.
I think, do you have a girlfriend now?
None.
I don't think, bro, I think again, for me, my experience and what I know is that everybody has their own story. Nobody is the same. Mon has his own love story, I have my own, and you're gonna have your own. And I think rushing it or forcing it won't happen. I think just being open in the universe and allowing it, one day should just drop in front of you. And one day, the puzzle will just fit. I feel like love is a puzzle, bro.
Yeah, that's the thing, eh. Parang me, sometimes, you know, okay. It's work priority muna.
Yeah, but I think you'll find a woman that will complement your work and you guys will synergize together and become, boom,
I believe that
a better person
I believe
together.
That too, yeah.
But now, because you haven't.
Formula. That's a
synergy, bro. That's a synergy. Synergy. Yeah. But you haven't met that girl that will really up you, ba? Mm. I'm sure your wife ups you, diba? Everybody
oh, yeah,
ups
yeah, totally,
each
yeah.
other. I'm sure Mon's become a better person today
oh, super,
than when he
super.
Was alone. So
yeah.
it's all about synergy and allowing that synergy to happen, diba? To be open, diba?
I totally
and,
agree.
Yeah. Anyways, bro, this segment I'd like to talk more about investments, man. The first segment we're talking about your lives as president, heads, and all that stuff, your leadership skills and etc. and your love life. But this time, man, I'd like to talk more about investment wise, bro. Today, man, like I'm 31 years old, a husband and stuff. I've been seeing a lot. Of investment opportunities, and I always ask my friends, dude, what can I do with this? What can I do with that? How can this grow? You know, and what are the best investment opportunities out there to really grow your money? No matter how much, 100,000, 10,000, or 500,000, you know. And what are the things? What are assets that are good to really appreciating? Are the things you're wearing in your wrist good, or is it just for perception, or is it really for growth? Things that you hang on your wall, is it something for your benefit or for growth? You know what I'm saying? Is buying luxury cars good, or it's just a waste of money? So let's talk about that. As you guys are, you know, financial experts, or you know, investing in your own ways, no, to grow personally. So let's talk about that, Jimmy. What do you think? Let's start off with watches. It's obviously here. You know, I have the most expensive one here, so hindi ko na iyabang sa inyo. No, but watches. Are watches good investments?
You want to go first, Mon?
Yeah. Honestly, I really just bought a few watches that I really, really like.
Okay.
Well, the one I'm wearing now. This one, and I have two others that I really value. I never thought of it before as an investment.
Okay.
I just thought, wow, it's super nice. And of course, may admittedly may konting alam mo na status symbol na
of course.
Na pull, di ba? But then I realized nga that there's a big secondary market pala for right. some of these watches that gain in value. Yeah.
So if you buy a watch, Mon, do you just hold it in the safe box or you wear it?
Well, ako whenever I buy things, anything, I like to use them.
So they say watches are investments. They grow in price after a year, two, etc. But are you going to wear it or are you going to keep it? Are you going to keep it and are you going to sell it? You guys are going to say you're going to sell it or you're never going to sell it. What's your stake there?
It depends. I mean, when you think about assets per se, you have two. Financial assets and real assets.
Okay.
So financial assets are the ones that are intangible.
Okay.
Like, later, probably, we can discuss about Bitcoin, investments in stocks, bonds, again. So that's intangible stuff. Mm-hmm. Stuff that you don't see. Stuff that you see on paper. And then you have the real assets, which is like watches, a house, cars, jewelry. And I think watches are there in the category of jewelry.
Right.
So, of course, these are materials, like, right? Like, aluminum, platinum, gold, mm-hmm. so on and so forth. So that in itself, the watch in itself, is actually a real asset. So it goes up in value. It's a mineral. I mean, it's a mineral compounded into a watch. So when this, you know, kind of assets, real assets, appreciate in value because of the scarcity, and the demand as well, then you see price appreciation. Now it really depends whether you want to hold it for your own personal use or you flip it. Nowadays, actually, I really get to see in Instagram
a lot,
as in right. People are trading them, selling them, and then you get to see.
There's a whole industry there. Yeah, there's a whole industry. Yeah. But are you into that or no?
No.
Are you?
No, I'm not. You know, at first I just thought I'm gonna keep this to all myself.
Right. And give it to your kid in the future.
Yeah, when I had kids eventually, but I was like, maybe I'm gonna keep it for them one day.
Yeah, it's a nice thing. Yeah. Okay. What's something that you're into? Art?
Art? Yeah.
Yeah. Why art, GB? Talk to me about art. What does art do? What's the whole... I know watches has its own industry. Art has a big following and a whole industry in it.
I'd probably say art is kind of similar to watches. The first piece, you'll wear it. You'll keep it for yourself. Because I when you see a piece, whether a watch or an art piece or a painting, you'd say, okay, this talks to me. This item talks to me. It gives me some sort of, you know, just resonance into it. Na parang gusto ko siya. And then when you get to buy your second, third, parang feeling mo, I can let go of the additional pieces. Na.
Do you actually let go of them?
Not now.
Okay,
not
but now. It's hard to let. Are you the type of person that, you know, it's difficult to let go, bro?
Yeah.
Like for me, I always tell myself, one of my friends is. This Indian guy is—he's the best, and he's a really wealthy man. And he said, "What's your secret, bro?" He said, "Bro, everything I own is always in the market. You wanna buy it?
You know, flip lang,
anything,
flip,
bro. Flip. Anything. His homes—if if there's a buyer, he'll sell it.
He's a businessman.
Yeah, super. So, you know, he always said, Mateo, everything you own must be in the market. I mean, if there's a buyer, sell it right away. Don't be too greedy. So, how do you detach, and how do you say, okay, it's time to sell?
If you're a businessman. Don't fall in love with the stuff that you own. I mean, my brothers, they used to breed dogs, like Labradors. Mm. This was way back in the 90s. Huh? One pup, they can easily sell it at 25K. Mm. So that was back then. The thing about, you know, for that one breeding, di ba? You see the puppies, and then parang tapos may buyer, you fall in love with the puppy, di ba? Same with investments. Eh. If you fall in love too much with one particular item, you can't let go. And you're wearing the business hat. Lagot ka.
Mahirapan
ka. Unless, of course, I mean, because when you want to do that, you have the right demand supply. Eh. Parang I have the supply and then you have the demand. And then I'm willing to let go at a certain price. If you have that certain price, then go na, di ba? You have a profit. Sometimes people like doing rate targeting. Mm. Yeah, if I'm gonna to the audience listening here, rate targeting is very important. Whether it would be watch, stocks, paintings, or what have you, or real assets like you know a house and lot. Rate targeting is very important. Because
rate targeting means?
If you have, let's say, I want to get my ROI 20%. Mm. Basta yun lang yung goal ko, 20%. Rate targeting is basically, I'm eyeing for that rate of return, whether it would be 3 months from now or 3 years from now.
Okay.
You let go of the time horizon. Because I'm just focusing on the rate target.
Okay.
So, you have to choose. You know, if I'm doing rate targeting, then let's go for it, diba?
Kumbaga, if you hit 10%, 10%, let it go.
That's it. These things you get to hear very often in stocks. And then there are players who just hold, buy and hold.
Right.
Let it appreciate 10 years, 20 years down the road.
Wait, there's so many interesting things to talk about there, but the painting thing, have you ever let go of any painting?
No.
You see? So, you know, it's our excuse saying paintings are good investments, painting we're going to resell, etc. But are you going to let go of your painting?
I'm not wishing ill for my artist.
Okay.
Because the paintings, when the painter dies,
boom.
It really shoots up.
Boom. I just got a painting before I moved to the house. And I stare at it all the time, every day. And my wife goes, "Love, what are you doing?" And I'm just like, "Love, it's so nice. It's so nice."
What did you get?
A Nicole Cawson. You like Nicole? You like her?
Okay lang.
What are you, more of a darkish kind of guy?
Um,
who do you like?
I like Rubio.
Okay. Okay.
That guy, Dominic, I've met him. He's actually a Sun Life client. I think he's a national artist in the making.
Wow.
It's kind of different when you see his paintings. Rubio is the one that has the long necks type of,
image, you like paintings image. Also?
Admittedly, not as much as GB, but I do want to get into it one day with my wife because she likes paintings.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think, you know, it's good investment. Yes, if you hold chat, but will you ever sell? Won't you get too attached to like a painting and say, oh my gosh.
It sometimes it does it.
Diba?
Pero the second, third pieces, parang, yeah, pwede ko
niya. Ah, ganun ba yun?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you have to, there's this thing about provenance. Provenance right. is making sure that when you bought the painting, alam mong legit and there's connection into the buyer and seller.
Okay.
So that's very, very important. It jacks up the price.
You guys, would you buy a car brand new from the Kasab or buy it secondhand?
Well, I'll go again. I used to only buy secondhand cars, but right. then because during my first, part of my career, I didn't have that much money to spend yet, right? So, but I realized I would be spending more on the servicing. Mm-hmm. Diba? Mahal ng mga servicing bills ko every time. So when I furthered with my career, that's when I realized bakit it's better to buy brand new cars na lang. No?
Okay, because of the servicing.
Because I like to have that, first-hand experience of the car also. And the servicing is way better. I mean, I only buy cars that will get me from point A to point B and with brands that I trust, basically.
What can you say about people out there? You go to the provinces or people that, become successful from nothing to something.
They have what you call psychological investment.
Okay.
Makes you feel good about yourself. I mean, you want to reward yourself. It's okay if you want to upgrade TV, ref and stuff like that. It's for, leisure. Eh, ganyan. But when you have aesthetics, ganyan, it's psychological investments. Each to its own. Ah. Sometimes the psychological investments, that's priceless.
But I think there's a timeline for that.
Yeah.
There's a timeline for that.
I totally agree.
I mean, now, bro, honestly speaking, I'm starting my family, etc. And I'm understanding it in the late age, 30. But if I knew it when I was 18, 16, 17, 15, I would have done it. Like, for example, my brother, Paolo, he's only 14 years old. And I'm really telling him, and I'm really lucky my dad's telling him that, Pao, invest now, start investing. Because you'll have the clearer picture once you're older and once you're there already. Once you're there in the game, you'll have a clearer picture of things.
Right.
When you're not yet in the game, you'll understand, but you don't have that clear picture. Right. Do I make sense?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I completely agree. You know what? I'm realizing also, money is really, it's... sometimes there's financial education, di ba?
Right.
But it's really 70% psychological and behavioral.
Yeah.
It's really that eh. Parang, what you said, no? At 25, you would have just pulled the trigger and just done that.
Yeah, for sure.
But your behavioral and psychological behavior changes the older you get when you realize things more and more and more.
I'll tell you a story. Way back, again, during my younger years, I had my first paycheck. And then at that time, we had also variable commissions. So if your business gets, good, the people who are selling for you, that's good, you get something.
That's just like, 10 years ago when they were selling Bitcoin at 500 or 10,000. Diba there was people, a lot of people selling Bitcoin, 10,000, 500, bro, bili, ganito. Nobody believed. Only a handful believed, right? I have a friend that bought Bitcoin at 500 to 1,000. They held 10 years ago. And I forgot how much he bought. Maybe he bought $1,000 worth. And today, the problem is he forgot his password.
That is hilarious.
Dude, he forgot his password.
Wala bang forget password yan.
Dude, no, he did everything. And this guy's in IT, huh? He's in IT. So
IT
the whole year last year when Bitcoin, or a few months ago, that Bitcoin hit 60,000, he was panicking. He held the whole pandemic. He was in search for his password, contacting the platform, my password, this is me, sending all the IDs, etc. He never got it back.
Oh, wow.
Never got it. So that's what I'm saying, bro. If I'm in the game, like today, if I can tell my brother, dude, instead of spending 10,000 pesos on sneakers, put that 10 grand somewhere else where when you're 20 years old or 30 years old, that 10 grand would be, 500 grand, hopefully. You know what I'm saying? So
you have to make money work for you.
Yeah,
exactly.
The cycle of common Filipino, you know, chasing after the money day in, day out, working hard. But when you start investing, make money work for you, not right. you working for money.
Okay.
So you have to have that perspective na, you know, yun, it's the old adage saying na income minus savings or investments equals expense. Kung ano yung natira, yun lang yung panggastos mo. Diba?
Yeah. Money is relative to all, yeah. diba? I mean, 500 pesos can be that to you, this to me, yeah. and that to him, right? So watch his good investment. Depends on what?
Depends on what? Depends on the scarcity of that.
Yeah. We'll go to real estate. What do you think?
Real estate is typically one of the best real asset investments that anyone could make talaga.
So, real estate or like condominiums, buildings, etc.? Or
talaga property? But it's really more property. The high net worth clients that any fund house usually has, the really wealthy clients really made their wealth in property. Yeah. That's what we've seen most talaga.
How do you pick out good property and good investment property? How do you know one's prime? How? Or like, I want prime property but I don't have capital for that. So how do I say what's good real estate for somebody?
Really good questions, no?
Because it can be subjective, right?
Yeah,
if I'm so rich, I'll buy prime property. What's good investment? What's good real estate?
Well, we're not the property experts.
Normal people.
There are two kinds of real estate investments. One is the residential ones.
Okay.
So you'd want to go with the more reputable companies, diba? And then if you want to have money to invest in, you know, corporate real estate, diba? Like company,
commercial,
diba? Corporate offices. That's where the big money really is, no? The ones who have like BPOs, call center spaces with the PEZA accredited space, and that's where the big money of the rich clients that we know.
Lalayo ko pa, if you're gonna look at the top five richest families here in the Philippines, the C's are into real estate, the Ayalas are into real estate. So I mean, it's quite given.
Yeah, real estate's the best. But let's say I have a friend that said, bro, the best investment is real estate in Dasma. Dasma, Makati, Forbes.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, bro, I understand. But not everybody has the capital to buy 500 million peso property there.
Yeah.
Diba? So, you know, he said, bro, my returns here is incredible. Like, how much was property there before? 100,000 per square. Now you go up to 500,000 per square meters in Dasma.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, okay, if you had the money, buga. But for like a humble person,
yeah,
bro,
right.
A normal Filipino working class, diba? What's good? What's good? How do I invest? For example, a normal Filipino, how do you invest your money? And how do you use debt loans? Utang to help out your purchasing in property, because a lot of Filipinos, bro, say, oh, my utang mga laking problema, wag kang mag-utang. But mm-hmm. no, you can use utang very wisely to become successful.
Yeah.
So can you guys are the experts, can you elaborate on that?
Right.
Correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of Pinoys or the older Pinoys, oh, wag kang mag-utang. But no. Utang is good if you know how to utang.
Yeah, there's bad debt and then there's good debt. Okay. No? We believe that there's good debt also. Mm. And good debt is when you invest in real assets that will make you money in the future.
Right.
Well, property is one, diba? We're at an opportune time wherein interest rates are at all-time lows, diba?
Okay.
So if you go to banks now to do like a home loan, you're gonna get a pretty good deal. You know, so. There, but really low interest rates right now. If you ask me 10 years ago, 20 years ago, diba, Jeebs, you know this 15, for sure. 15%. Crazy, diba? How can you ever pay that off
15%
now?
Of loans?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Crazy.
You borrow money at 15% per annum.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, that's the different thing. That's
the tricky part. Mon is right. If you borrow money nowadays when loan rates are very, very low, you know, for example, if you're looking for that rate target for that property that you want to buy, you want to flip it at 20% ROI. But if your loan rate is 15, the margin mo is just 5%. Diba? So, I mean, you have to position when and where. Where, of course, the location. When's the proper time to buy it? When the environment is happy to be good. And if you don't want to have debt, if you don't want to make utang, but you want to invest in properties, and then there's what you call stock investment. These big companies, you can own a piece of their property through shares.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you won't have that, you know, title per se, but if these guys are, if these companies are earning year in, year out, their share price goes up.
Similarly, you
get the same, you know, price appreciation as well. So, I mean, and then nowadays you have what they call real estate investment trust, REITs. And it's kind of usos in developed markets, but here it's gaining ground. So, you know, a collective of, you know, mall rentals, ganyan, income from condominiums, if they're doing, you know, leasing it out, ganyan, stuff like that. So if these companies are actually earning in terms of their income, and then similarly, you get a piece of that.
You benefit also there.
You benefit from that REIT exposure. So, if you want to buy that real asset, real property, and you don't have the money, get the best rate as much as you can. And if you don't want to make utang, just invest in REIT.
But is it okay to make utang?
Mon is right. I mean, there's such thing as good debt. Such thing as good debt.
That's interesting, no? Because you can really use debt in your advantage, kumbaga, right.
Yeah.
And companies, they borrow money all the time.
Yeah.
Governments borrow money all the time. That's not necessarily bad debt. They borrow money to expand their businesses, and that's actually good debt.
But you, as individual, you need to make sure that you are able to have that proper cash flow to pay your debt.
Correct.
I'm about to get there. Don't invest more than, you know, what you can pay for, di ba?
Mamaya lahat ng kinikita mo na sa utang lang, di ba?
How you eat, right?
Yeah. But that's really interesting. So the best, what we can talk about today in this segment, the best talaga investment can be real estate and is real estate. One of the best.
It could be one of the best if you have, you know, the money and the time horizon, di ba?
It's a long-term investment.
It's a long-term investment. If you want to go full on, you know, in investing, you have to know how much part of your assets you're willing to let go, invest. And then the thing there is that with property assets, if you're gonna use it, okay, right? You're gonna build a house, or if you get to buy that lot. The thing about properties now, sometimes it's not liquid. If you need your money outright, you have to look for a buyer.
So how much percentage out of your 100% is to put in investments like that? You put it there, and then it doesn't have to be liquid. But how much liquidity does one need? Kumbaga?
In general, when we talk about assets or investments, real assets or financial assets. So let's say you're 30, right? I read a book somewhere, 100 minus your age, the difference, that's where you can actually go aggressive on. So
100 minus 31.
Also, for example, sabihin mo ng 30, ba? 100 minus 30, 70% of your assets, you can go aggressive.
Okay.
Because why does it make sense that way? Let's say assuming that you live your life until 80. Ba? So you have 50 years to go for price appreciation, for you to flip those investments. So for the investment to work hard for you as well, you know, appreciate for you. So you can play around with that formula, 100 minus your age, and whatever is the difference. Tapos yung 30%, yun yung liquidity mo.
Yeah.
Yun yung cash in bank.
Very interesting, no? So there's so investment opportunities, dami. Dami. Correct me if I'm wrong, right? A lot. A lot of people can invest in a lot of things. A lot of people can make their money grow, make their money grow for them, let money work for them. Kumbaga. What about those people, like, for example, Dogecoin? You know Dogecoin? Okay. There's a guy that placed all his investments in Dogecoin beginning of the year. A few years back. And then, boom. And he's like a millionaire, trillionaire today. What kind of people are those? Are there like 1 out of 10 people?
Those are the young ones. I mean, the reason why the young ones are so attracted to this kind of things is because they're young.
They're young, bro.
the younger ones, younger ones, because they have enough years to say. Let's say, for example, I start off investing in these things during my teens, 20s, and probably these are money that they're really, you know, by the time I'm 30, sugal yun eh. Parang all in when you have nothing to lose.
So is it something you'd recommend to kids? Like, is it something like when you're young pa na, alam mo, sana kung bata pa ako, binuga ko dyan ng ano, kahit 100,000 pesos, 50,000 pesos, nilagay ko na dyan, I forget about it. Is it something you'd, if you take yourself back in time when Bitcoin was just 500 or 10,000, would you put like so much?
No.
Really?
Hindsight is always 2020.
You know why? I would rather put my money in Amazon. Amazon, Facebook. I mean, if it was like 20 years
but back, isn't the growth konti lang from 10,000 to 60,000?
I feel safer. It depends on the it depends on the I guess the tolerance.
Kumbaga, there's a credibility in those Apple, Amazon, and those big companies that your money won't depreciate. It will just continue going up.
Because I know, I mean, it's so easy for me to value my investment. Why? Because Amazon kasi if it's going down in value, kasi there's another competitor that came out. And then, you know, the services of Amazon is not so good anymore. But you know that it's there, the services, they're earning out of the business that they have. So, and if in any case, Amazon is diversifying their business in different, you know, different interests and giving them more bang for the buck for their company, okay lang. Pero kasi, it's because of me. I mean, to each its own. I like to have that some sort of tangibility behind it.
Okay.
Na parang, I know with this investment, there's something behind it. It's a business. There's an entity. Hmm. There's value. There's people running the show.
Right now, I'm still of course, global equities through our mutual funds in Sun Life. No? But that being said, diba, what GB was talking about was actually the conviction. He has conviction in the companies that are globally run, like Amazon or Apple, diba? Tangible assets, tangible products, diba? So if you are a young one listening out there who wants to invest in, you know, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Dogecoin, you need to have that conviction. If you don't have the conviction, if you don't know what it's about, then I wouldn't recommend it to you. You really have to study it well. You have to study the charts also, how it moves. It's probably the most volatile charts I've ever seen ever now.
Do you like volatility?
No, volatility is your friend.
Would you just buy, like for example, 10,000 pesos worth and just hold it? Or 10,000 pesos, tomorrow's 10% up, sell it, and then kumbaga, will you day trade?
It depends talaga, Jeeps, diba? I mean, it depends on your goal and that specific investment. Some guys, like, they want to say, oh, for this part of my portfolio, it's for trading, diba? So this part of my portfolio, I can do Bitcoin, I can do some stocks, I can day trade. But this part of my portfolio, the bigger part, that's for my long-term goals, for my retirement, for my kids' college education. I'm not going to play with that.
Right.
I'm going to put the things that I really know about there for the long term. And
so when you do those long-term things, bro, you'd like to get more of like proper policies and products from, for example, Sun Life.
Yeah.
That's all set there. Kumbaga, I want a college fund. I can boom. There's a proper policy that Sun Life offers for college funds for my kids in the future. That instead, right? Instead of doing it solo.
Yeah.
For some, bro, investing in local markets and local companies versus investing in U.S. markets, which gains are faster, bigger. What can you say?
Oh, we just recently launched a product.
Okay.
Just smack at the pandemic. We call it World Equity Index Feeder Fund. Back in the days, when you want to invest in Amazon, Google, Facebook, so on and so forth, you have to open a broker account in Hong Kong, Singapore, you know, just to expose yourself to these foreign global companies. So what we did in Sun Life, we made it in peso, and then what we did is to get a product. I'm laymanizing this as much as I can. We got the product. We made it available here, registered here, but it's mirroring another product that's available, you know, globally. That's what you call the feeder fund concept. So what it does is that this product of ours, it's exposed to 2,000 global companies around the world.
Okay.
So right smack in the pandemic, you know that a lot of people are going digital because not everyone gets to go out in their normal ways. So lahat talagang digital, like the likes of Amazon, currencies are transactions, digital payments are done like via Visa, diba, when you want to transact something. And then you also have the pharmaceutical companies coming up with the vaccines. So we don't have those companies, Amazon, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, so on and so forth. We don't have it here in the local market. So what we did is that product gives you exposure to those companies. In less than a year when we launched it, June?
Yeah, July 6.
July. By the year end of 2020, it gained more than 11%.
Wow.
So, okay. Because it's exposed into global markets. Mm-hmm. And the thing there about investing in those global markets, they're the ones who get the first shot of the vaccine.
Right.
They get inoculated, mm-hmm. herd immunity.
Economies open faster.
Economies open faster. The commerce gets back into its feet quicker. And they're, you know, their business grows faster as well. Eh tayo, we're just trying to get that, you know, population herd immunity. So they have the first shot. They have the first shot of the vaccine. They have the first shot of pickup in global commerce. So they get the first shot in terms of, you know, price appreciation.
How much is the minimum to invest there?
50,000.
Okay.
But subsequent is just 10,000 pesos after that.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So this is a new product with Sun Life.
Yeah. So, yun. In essence, it bridges the gap for you to invest here in the Philippines, and it exposes you to those global big corporations around the world.
Okay. So instead of for example, for Mr. A, let's call him Mr. A, he has 100,000. He has 100,000 tomorrow. Oh, what will I do with 100,000?
Yeah. So it's not easily answered, no, because it has to really go through a whole kind of like a process, diba? So we sit down with that client and we go over a risk profiler to check his risk tolerance, risk capacity, time horizon, diba? And from there, we can sort of create na a recommended asset allocation for his portfolio.
So you won't get in fault also, chef, if he loses everything, diba? But what about for you mismo? If you had like 100, for example, 100 grand extra, what would you do? Just keep it there?
Oh, okay.
Or yeah. Put it somewhere?
Okay. For me, kasi I'm nearing 40 na, diba? So okay. My pagka-aggressive portfolio became sort of more balanced to a bit more conservative, no? So I like my fixed income products. Mm-hmm. I like my bonds. I like my mutual funds. You know, not really the exotic stuff so much anymore. But if I had 100,000 nga today, I would do some probably like 30% global equities because I want to ride the strong global vaccine story with the tech companies and mm-hmm. the vaccine makers like Pfizer, AstraZeneca. I would do probably 30% also local equities because the prices now are so down. Look at the stock market now for Philippine Stock Exchange. We're at 6.6, but the high before was 9,000, diba? Oh. So the more we get vaccinated here, the more we can probably get back to the old highs, diba?
When do you think we're going to get back to normal? When do you think we're going to stabilize again? In how many years or in a year?
Yeah, or yung magandang tanong, diba? That's
it depends on the shots.
Yeah.
Everybody gets the vaccine.
We are starting to get the shots, but it's not as fast as different countries, no.
It's actually gaining in pace now. It's accelerating in pace as we get more supplies. So actually our Sun Life House view for our economic recovery probably around late 2022 to early 2023 maybe, at if we could get the vaccines rolling faster and faster. But that doesn't mean the stock market is only gonna return back to normal by then, because stock markets usually are forward looking.
Okay.
Inuunahan nila palagi yung news. So once the stock traders get news na the vaccines are being distributed faster and more, then they start to invest in companies again as confidence gets back.
Right. GB wants to be sure all the time where he goes.
I don't understand it as much kasi parang I haven't done the homework that Mon did and or you did, so whatever it is that I really don't know so much, I don't dabble in it unless it's like yun nga parang try lang, you know? not everything basically.
Parang pag-ibig lang, bro. Just keep it open always.
try lang.
just be open, bro. No, but guys, this has been very interesting. Thank you very much for your time. Talagang they took time to really come and have this conversation here in Matron. So maraming salamat. I hope everybody out there has learned something today. It's very interesting because investing, it's very, very wide. No? It's very wide. And some people kasi with lack of education or lack of knowledge on how to invest, where to invest, they don't really know where to go or how to do it. Diba? So again, I don't want to be hard sell or anything, but Sun Life is a very credible company over 100 years that can really solidify and take care of your money if you want to be sure. Obviously, if you're younger, you can do the crazier route and do it yourself and gain tomorrow or lose everything the next day. So it's really up to the person. It's really on the individual. But again, I think it's important to really be educated and really talk to people, talk to mentors, talk to people like you guys that are better, are more exposed. Alam mo yan? So you really learn about what to do and what there is to do. No? Mon, is there anything you'd like to say for the young guys? For young guys out here, like my brother, he's 14 years old, or for, you know, for your friends, for your friends' kids. If there's something that you know now that you could have done when you were 14, what would have that been?
Okay, maybe I'll just share a short story. You know, when my dad passed away back in 2007, I received a nice amount of insurance payout, diba? And what did I do? I put everything into one equity fund at that time. That was late 2007. And what happened after that year? It was the 2008 global financial crisis. Wow, everything crashed, diba? I was down 40-50%, diba? I wanted to cry every night that time. Diba? What did I do? I just wasted everything, diba? So, what did that teach me, diba?
Wait, did you hold that?
I held it to such time, several years, until I finally got the money out. And I was down just probably 90% na lang when I took it out na. But what did that teach me, diba? That taught me the value really of number one, studying your investments. Number two, creating that asset allocation portfolio mix based on your risk profile, diba? It always has to be rooted on your risk profile. And that time, I don't even know why I did that, diba? Number three lesson, you always have to know why you're investing, diba? What are you doing it for? What are your goals, diba? What's that for? Is that for your kids' college education? And lastly, I learned also the value of regular investing, cost averaging, diba? Because if you do cost averaging, you're not going to pin your investment onto one price. That's what I actually did. I pinned everything. I put one lump sum, all out, into one price. Doon ako nakapako, diba? But if you were doing cost averaging, I could have actually not lost that much money. I could have invested more and more when the prices were going down pala. So I guess in life, no, the older you get, the more you learn from your failures and mistakes, no, and that really taught me so many valuable things, no. So I guess just to recap what I said, no, know your risk profile, study your investments, create that investment portfolio with an asset allocation mix based on your risk profile, and do cost averaging and know your goals.
So cost averaging is very important.
Yun talaga.
Cost now averaging. That the market's really dipping, boom, boom, yeah, every day, just keep buying the dips.
If it's aligned to your goals and that's what you want, if that's aligned to your asset allocation, yeah, probably you do that. Yeah.
All right, GB, ikaw naman, you know, you're president of Sun Life. I wish you all the best in the years to come, man. But today that you're president and you know what you know, you've gone through everything you've gone through, your master of degree, your experiences you're going through, your leadership skills and everything. If you could take back time back when you were 13, 14, 15, what is one thing you'd do differently?
Oh, I would have started, having said that, starting early, I would have just put a lot. I mean, the frivolous stuff that you get to buy, you know, next gadget, toy and stuff like that. That's gonna give you 2-3 years of, you know, fun, ganyan, use it, ganyan.
Sarap lang sa umpisa.
Like the PS4, PS5, diba, ganyan. You don't know, it's gonna be a PS10, diba?
Right.
And your how much is a PS5 nowadays?
28,000,
yeah, something like that.
Okay, yeah. Diba? So for me, it's nicer when you there's this thing that you call delayed gratification, and waiting it for the long haul, and then you know that exponentially the money made multiple times, despite the fact that if you invested it or you bought it, made use of that money for an expense, and then you know that it will depreciate, and then you have the next model coming out which would make it depreciate more. For me, it's the delayed gratification. I mean, look at Warren Buffett, right? Mm. I mean, he's the epitome of holding it long. How old is he now? He's nearing 90, probably 90s. He's the top five richest man in the world, right? So his game is just basically holding it long, and not getting too tempted. And then at the same time, keep your lifestyle in check. I mean, I applaud you, Mateo. Actually, in terms of amongst the other your peers, diba, you pretty much know, you know, your expenses. Probably it's all attuned to how you were brought up by your parents. So it's knowing your income, expenses, and savings approach or investment approach. It's really that. How you're not caught up with you know, things that are fad,
right,
and then I just play on it. And then things that are very material to you, very important to you. You know, case in point, if you want to buy a house, you have to start now. I mean, you don't buy a house just for the sake of, I want to buy a house tomorrow na, diba?
That's right.
You save it for the long haul.
That's right. Anyway, GB, Mon, thank you very much. We wish you all the best. Mon and I wishes you too that you'll find that woman that can flip your life around.
Agree.
Guys, thank you very much. Maraming salamat. And to everybody watching, listening, invest. Invest your money wisely. Invest your money as early as you can in ways that you know and know where you're putting your money at. Maraming salamat. Matt Runs, signing out. Thank you very much.